business strategy, objectives, and customer requirements. Business strategy related to supply chain network design involves determining which customer segments the organization will serve and grouping one or more segments into a supply chain based on their logistics operations requirements. More than one supply chain may be needed to serve all customer segments. Determining the proper number of distinct supply chains is a strategic objective, as is prioritizing which supply chain to design first. Design teams have discussions with current or potential customers and do other types of market research to discover customers' logistics service preferences. Then, customers with similar enough logistics requirements are grouped together into an operationalized customer segment, and it is given a meaningful name. For example, West Coast Bulk Chemicals. Big Box Staple Items Retail Distribution. Since one supply chain for each identified segment might be too many supply chains, segments with similar needs can each be assigned to a single potential supply chain, with other groups of segments forming one or more other supply chains. If the number and type of supply chains are acceptable from a strategic objectives perspective and the business case looks solid, the next step is to determine which supply chain to design first. This usually occurs by estimating which supply chain transformation will provide the most financial value for the investment. It is typically a mistake to pick the squeaky wheel supply chain to design first. While such a supply chain clearly has issues, improving it may not have nearly the same impact on the bottom line that improving a much more financially important supply chain might have. A strategy for a specific supply chain needs to be designed with the end in mind. That is, what is its primary purpose? The SCORE-DS performance attributes of reliability, responsiveness, agility, cost, profit, assets, environmental, and social can be used along with knowledge of customer segment requirements to set priorities of superior, greater than 90% of competitors, advantage, greater than 70%, and parity, greater than 50%, in these various categories based on competitive benchmarking. Here are some examples of supply chain network strategies that could be used depending on the customer segments the organization is trying to serve. Low-cost strategy. Superior in cost, advantage in assets and reliability, and parity for other areas. Customer with high-demand variability strategy. Superior in agility, advantage in responsiveness and reliability, and parity for efficiency areas. Project-driven customers. For example, construction industry strategy. Superior in reliability, advantage in agility and responsiveness, and parity in efficiency areas. Customer-supplier long-term collaboration strategy. Superior in profit, advantage in reliability and, for example, sustainability and parity in other areas. Customers needing innovative or emergency capacity strategy. Superior in agility, advantage in responsiveness and assets, and parity in other areas. Once a single supply chain is being considered, the network design process involves setting a desired service level relative to operational customer segment requirements for levels and types of service, and then assessing the costs of the service. These costs can then be compared to the revenue levels that would need to be generated to ensure profitable operations. A service level might be stated as 90% of customers getting their goods within 72 hours of order receipt at an average inventory fill rate of 94%. The cost of providing this in higher and lower levels of service needs to be quantified in terms of how far warehouses need to be from customers and therefore how many warehouses are needed. Another way of impacting service levels is to set inventory strategies for safety stock levels. Adjusting these two levers properly should allow the organization to generate a strategic advantage through their service levels at a low enough cost to remain profitable. The steps in forming a single supply chain's network design are: determine customer requirements and network servicing expectations. Calculate the threshold service level, lowest total cost network, and determine network capabilities. Use a sensitivity analysis to adjust factors one at a time and determine the incremental cost difference of increasing any given factor. Present the alternatives and their cost differences and finalize strategy. Determining customer requirements and network servicing expectations. The design objective for a single proposed supply chain is to determine the chosen customer segment, S, requirements for minimum acceptable service levels, including network servicing expectations. Information on maximum acceptable lead times for various types or classes of goods is an example of a customer requirement. Network servicing expectations could be agreements with customers regarding how frequently you will provide shipments, or they could be based on industry standards or what competitors are offering. For example, you may agree to provide one shipment per week. Other organizations or consumers may expect next-day turnaround or same-day delivery. This information is needed before you can determine how many DCS will be needed to establish a threshold service level in the next step, calculating threshold service level and determining network capabilities. The threshold service level is the cheapest possible way of serving all customers in the segment considering the costs of transportation and warehousing together at a given level of safety stock, delivery timing, and frequency. Proximity of warehouses to customers is a primary driver of these costs. For the initial analysis, a certain level of safety stock availability needs to be assumed. This can be a percentage availability rate based on industry standards, or, if an existing system is being transformed, it can be based on the current safety stock availability. Both lead time variability and demand uncertainty affect this availability rate. To determine pure cost trade-offs, the organization can map its customer territories using economic maps of costs. Exhibit 8-11 provides an example of this method for a direct distribution network that has most of its customers in urban areas. In the exhibit, there are three concentrations of customers representing three nearby cities. While cities tend to have higher labor costs, it is sometimes still cheaper to have a warehouse in an urban area due to the reduced transportation distances to the majority of customers. In other cases, particularly in retail fulfillment, cost maps could show that lowest costs occur when warehouses start farther from customers in the countryside, lower DC costs, and higher transportation zone costs. Exhibit 8-11. Economic cost map. An economic cost map will tally all costs of warehouses and transportation to customers from a set of given warehouse locations. The costs listed by the DCS indicate the total per average item for inventory carrying cost and DC storage costs before transportation. The cost in each ring is this cost plus transportation costs for customers within that ring. The successive rings show where costs increase due to farther distances traveled or other factors such as traffic delays or geographic barriers like rivers, thus the irregular shape. Where DC territories overlap, the territory with lowest cost wins the customers. Note that where two areas are next to one another, two facilities could serve a customer for an equal cost. However, at this point, the delivery time is not being considered. One facility might ship to that boundary faster than another. Note that this type of map is usually an amalgam of multiple products and multiple customer segments, the ones chosen for this potential supply chain network. This is the cost for an average order to an average customer. More nuanced analyses might prepare maps for various order size ranges, since the zones will differ as order sizes increase. While this least cost network places cost above all other considerations by definition, customers in zones closer to DCS will also likely receive excellent service as measured by delivery time, with times increasing as distances grow greater. However, there can still be inconsistencies within a given zone. A zone map that located DCS in the countryside would have less ability to provide fast service to its largest customer areas directly, but its retail locations would likely also be mapped, and they would provide the fast service. Thus, it is difficult to simultaneously provide lowest cost direct fulfillment and lowest cost retail fulfillment with the same DCS, and service levels will also vary. Using sensitivity analysis. A sensitivity analysis uses a model, for example, a worksheet model, of a system in which one parameter is varied and other things are held constant to see the effects on the rest of the system. In a sensitivity analysis to analyze threshold service levels, the number of warehouses is varied to see the impact on service time and cost. This is a marginal cost analysis, meaning that the cost of adding one more unit, warehouse, is compared to the added benefit received from that unit. The marginal cost is compared to the marginal benefit. The benefit is reduced service time and presumably more customers due to higher customer satisfaction. Marginal cost analysis will show diminishing returns after a certain point, where the cost of adding one more unit produces higher costs, but not proportionately higher benefits. For example, an analysis might be made based on the percentage of customers who experience an order cycle duration of 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, and 4 days, as is shown in Exhibit 8-12. The relative amount of safety stock needed for each given number of DCS is also calculated, with 3 DCS set at 100% and the other numbers of DCS being set relative to that base level to show how costs increase. But of course, other costs such as DC capital costs and labor would need to be factored in. Exhibit 8-12. sensitivity analysis of DCS to safety stock levels and order cycle durations. Exhibit 8-13 shows the same information in chart form. Exhibit 8-13. Order cycle durations get more reliable as more DCS are added. Note how when you move from 3 to 4 DCS, there is a significant increase in the percentage of customers experiencing improved order cycles, but the difference between 6 and 7 DCS is minimal. However, safety stock cost continues to increase steadily. The cost of safety stock in the exhibit is calculated using a formula called the square root rule, first proposed by Maester and defined in the ISCM Supply Chain Dictionary as a technique that assists planners with calculating the change in total safety stock needed to maintain customer service levels within a distribution network when the number of stocking locations is changed. The formula observes a phenomenon called the portfolio effect. The formula follows, with an example of the first calculation from the exhibit. Note that this calculation can use real safety stock numbers rather than percentages. The square root rule makes several assumptions. Each DC has a relatively equal demand that fits a standard bell curve, normal distribution, and demand at each new warehouse is independent, not correlated with that of the other DCS. In other words, adding more warehouses to the same area will cause each service area to shrink and not overlap. This estimate can then be modified for other known factors, such as customer and supplier lead times. Note that this method should be viewed as a high-level estimate only. More nuance will need to be applied during detailed network planning to account for differences such as uneven demand patterns across the network. After this high-level estimate, planning in this area can include sensitivity analyses, such as holding the number of DCS constant and varying safety stock levels. This will provide some marginal benefits at the cost of more safety stock. Another way to nuance this analysis is to set different required service levels for different Pareto IBC inventory categories, such as having items be available at 96%, B items at 92%, and C items at 85%, and eliminating any obsolete inventory entirely. This can be accomplished by having different safety stock levels. C is usually at zero. Finally, the fixed DC costs, including capital costs, information system costs, inventory holding costs, local delivery costs, primary transport costs, and the cost of lost customers can be summed to produce a total cost analysis, as shown in Exhibit 8-14. Total cost is the top curve. These costs can be compared to the service levels provided as each DC is added. Achieving very high service levels will be shown to become prohibitively expensive. In this example, the lowest system cost is between 3 and 5 DCS. Exhibit 8-14. Total cost analysis based on number of DCS. Note a few points about Exhibit 8-14 above. The inventory holding costs are shown as increasing less steeply than the square root rule would imply, and they even start to decrease a little. This is because holding costs are based on cycle stock, regular inventory, safety stock, and transit inventory. The bulk of these costs will be for cycle stock. Cycle stock is based on demand levels, so this category of inventory is not really affected by the number of warehouses in the system. Therefore, cycle stock forms a baseline cost at any number of warehouses. The costs related to safety stock increase continually, but at a decreasing rate. The transit inventory is the smallest component of inventory, and it decreases at a linear rate as delivery lead times decrease, thus somewhat reducing the inventory holding curve at higher numbers of warehouses. Note also that fixed storage costs are treated here as a linear cost for simplicity, but if smaller and smaller warehouses are needed, it might be shown as a curve that flattens out as warehouses are added. Presenting alternatives and finalizing strategy. After analyses such as these, the cost of each given service level can be quantified for decision makers, and alternatives such as increasing DCS versus increasing safety stocks can be compared directly. The organization will then select the strategy that best matches overall competitive strategy while remaining cost competitive. Exhibit 8-15 shows a prioritized project portfolio for Sample Inc., an automotive and marine products distributor, who is seeking to reduce its cash-to-cash cycle time and improve in other areas as well. Such a portfolio may go through several iterations. Note that the following score DS metrics are used in the exhibit. RL1.1 Perfect Customer Order Fulfillment, PCOF, RS1.1 Customer Order Fulfillment Cycle Time, COFCT, IG1.1 Supply Chain Agility, SCI, CO1.1 Total Supply Chain Management Cost, T1, TSCMC, and IM1.1 cash to cash cycle time, CCCT, CPFR is collaborative planning, forecasting, and replenishment, and VM, I is vendor managed inventory. Exhibit 8-15. Sample, Inc. First draft of prioritized project portfolio. One note regarding strategy is that most of these types of analyses will take place in an existing organization that already has a logistics network. The strategy that is chosen may not be the absolute best network, but one that feasibly expands and improves the existing network, or shrinks and right-sizes it to the degree possible considering the large investments required to change existing facilities and fleets. However, just because inertia makes change hard does not make it unnecessary. If the competition has a better network, they will be able to leverage those savings into lower prices or faster service. Doing little or nothing is generally unsustainable.